And hear now the gospel reading from Mark. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a belt of leather around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am very well pleased." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth reel, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, and it shall not be moved. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. And if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's been a mighty troubling week in this land we call America, our home sweet home. What we witnessed on Wednesday was not only an attack on the Capitol of the United States, but also an assault on the Republic itself. The loss of life is a deep lament. The stain upon our reputation as a nation, a blemish which will blot the history books for centuries. It must be said at the outset, those who incited and perpetrated the desecration of the Capitol and the death and injury of those who bravely sought to defend it must be held accountable. Wednesday's words, actions, and inactions were absolutely unacceptable. This is a matter that is beyond politics and partisanship and comes right to the stone cold truth of the matter that there must be consequences, lest this kind of insurrection ever be perpetrated again. I say this clearly and unequivocally, but allow me to say something else with it. The crimes which were committed on Wednesday were committed by human hands, incited by human voices. But the struggle which we are in is not merely a human struggle. It is a spiritual struggle. And it goes far beyond those who were in Washington on Wednesday. An evil and wicked spirit has grabbed hold in America. And our job as spiritual people is not so much to punish as it is to free. There must be accountability, yes, and there must be punishment, yes, but there must not be vengeance. And there must not be demonization. For like it or not, those who stormed the steps are our brothers and sisters too. Our fathers and our mothers also. And so beyond disarming and arresting them and their leaders, we've got to find a way to disarm and arrest the powers which put them up to it in the first place. St. Paul said, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against all of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This is a spiritual battle that we are in. And it can only be won with the weapons of the Spirit. It cannot be won with the weapons of this world. In fighting the beast, we cannot allow ourselves to become beasts, and neither can we allow hate to take root in our hearts. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that, Dr. King said. And we must learn to live, to love each other as kindred, or we will perish together as fools. What we witnessed Wednesday was folly. The shocking, though not necessarily surprising, outcome of not only years upon years, but decades upon decades of antagonism, division, demonization, and outright lies. What summoned the forces of chaos to the Capitol on Wednesday was a big lie, a lie about a stolen election. A lie must be confronted with truth. The buckle of truth, St. Paul says, is a part of the armament of God. And a big lie must be confronted with the bigger buckle of truth spoken in love. So let me for a moment seek to speak the truth as I see it in love as best as I know how. We are so far long now in an era of enmity. Since I was still a boy, the seeds of discord and union have been being sown. Wednesday was the bitter harvest of that seed. My deepest worry is that this be just the first fruits of more and more seasons of insurrection and sedition to come. But it doesn't have to be. There are enough honest and good people of good will from both sides of the political aisle to turn this thing around. And that's exactly what we must have at this moment. For the citizens of goodwill of this country to make a mass commitment to one another, to being a part of the turning of this country around and taking it off of the path to destruction and putting it back onto the path of peace. And it's our choice. And we, as Christians, especially, need to decide. Is our faith in any way reflected by all of those people wearing flak jackets and wielding lethal weapons and carrying the standards of white supremacy into the Capitol? Or is it reflected by those who have put on the armament of the Spirit, including what Paul called the shoes of the gospel of peace, given for making and walking the path of peace in the name of the one who is the Prince of Peace? It can't be both. We can't dance and flirt with one and profess marriage to the other. We really do have to decide once and for all. For the sake of the nation and for the sake of the name of our Lord. Today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and we read how so many were coming down to be baptized by John in the Jordan River. The Bible says John was baptizing them with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of their sin. The word repent means to change one's mind or one's course. It means to turn around and go in a different direction. This is a moment for the changing of our minds and our course. A moment for turning around and going in another direction. It should be our turning point. When we decide to repent from this road to destruction and choose to turn and walk together down the hard but still possible path to peace and to union. And in the immortal words of Lincoln's second inaugural, with malice toward none, and with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work that we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. I thought of Lincoln on Wednesday as I saw pictures of the Confederate battle flag being paraded through the Capitol Rotunda. I thought of him and his eulogy preached by Phillips Brooks, which I told you just 3 weeks ago. I keep a copy of in the binding of my Bible. In the sermon, Brooks said, America has two natures struggling within her. One, the nature of slavery, the other, the nature of freedom. Lee had already surrendered by the time Lincoln was shot in 1865. But the war between the two natures was still on. And because we know that so much of what happened on Wednesday is still about race and about that war, we can even today say that the two natures, slavery and freedom, are still struggling with one another. But though the ultimate symbol of slavery, the Confederate flag, did indeed breach the hallowed halls of the Capitol this week, if from the point of view of Lincoln's memorial, we were to have looked towards the east, across the Mall, and to the Capitol, we would have seen that the statue of freedom was still perched there atop the Capitol dome, a building that was built during the war and is still the central seat and symbol of our nation's democracy. We would have seen that on Wednesday, and we would still see it today. The Statue of Freedom is still standing. And that tells me that it's not too late. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So with firmness in the right, may we strive on, and may freedom prevail. May liberty and justice for all prevail always. And the God of all liberty and justice and righteousness and peace shall see that it is so. This week, I called my great aunt Opal to hear her tell me what I always love and need to hear in times like these. Aunt Opal is the matriarch of our family and the oldest living veteran I know. In fact, at 98, she is one of the oldest women veterans left. During World War II, the Navy created something called WAVES, Women Accepted for Volunteer Emergency Service. Aunt Opal wanted to sign up, but she had to have her parents' permission. And her dad, my great-grandfather, was opposed. But her mom, my great-grandmother, was not. And she told Aunt Opal, "You go on down there and get that paperwork. I'll handle your daddy." That's the way things worked in our family back then. That's the way things still work in our family today, in fact. Aunt Opal went down and got the paperwork. And her mother and her daddy both signed. And soon she was shipped off to Cleveland, where the Department of the Navy had been moved for fear of attack on Washington. And she spent the next 2 years processing paperwork for dead and missing sailors killed or lost at sea. I called her on Friday and asked her what I always ask her in times of trouble. Aunt Opal, is God still on the throne? You bet he is, she said. God is still on the throne. We can be dismayed right now. The problems seem so daunting. The troubles so severe. But I think we owe it to those sailors and soldiers who lost their lives fighting fascism and totalitarianism and hatred abroad to stand up to it here today at home. We must not be overcome by evil, but we must overcome evil with good. We owe it to that greatest generation. And we owe it to that generation before that spilled so much blood that government of the people and by the people and for the people shall not perish from the earth. We owe it to them. And above all, we owe it to Christ, who gave his life that we might no longer be at enmity, but at peace with God and with one another. God is still on the throne. And the foundations of the throne are righteousness and justice. And from that throne flows a river of peace. And the invitation comes for us today to hear the call and to turn from this path of destruction and to come and wash ourselves in the waters of repentance and eat from the tree of life, which is at the center of the river, and the scripture says, on both sides. And whose fruit is not bitter, but is good, and for the healing of the nations. For this nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and with justice for all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.